This man is sold out for God. God's been good to him. God gave him a church. I think kind of a story. I don't know the whole story, but I think he came to church for a while because there was a girl named Heidi here. Probably upset if she chose to not come. You know, why even be here? You know, because church is boring, right? Can I have an amen? It is boring sometimes, huh? But you know, even in the midst of the boredom, God still wants to put a man together with a woman and bring babies into our nursery.
There's way too many people here. I feel like I should just jump off the stage so I fall off of this thing I'm up on. Mostly because of the fact that we're, at least with my class, we're kind of doing a love language thing right now. So I was going to talk about love a little bit and share some things that I've gone through and just some personal stuff. And then we'll get into the Word a little bit later and see where God takes us. I'm going to start with my wife and I. My wife told me, you know, Pastor Rob's got to talk to his wife before he shares. I said, well, I don't know. You look it in her eyes when he says something, and I'm not so sure. You know, who knows? Basically, with Heidi now, what I wanted to share was, of course, we're married. I could share the whole story, but that's really not what I'm going to talk about with us. It's more on the aspect of how a marriage relates with Christ and His church, and how I see God relating with us, and the fact that His love that He gives us is a choice. It's His love, and so that's how I would relate with Heidi now. You know, whenever either one of us do something that we would particularly not want the other one to do, the love is still there. Not because that person always does something to make me feel good, but because I myself, I choose to love, and Heidi chooses to love me no matter what we do. It's a choice that we have made. It's not just a feeling. It is a choice that we've made through our life. And when we said, I do, it wasn't just, I do right now, it's I'm going to forever. And, you know, I'm relating that really to what God would say to us. You know, He is going to love us forever, and He chooses to. There's nothing that's going to change that because it's His love. So that was kind of what I was going to share about with Heidi and I. The next thing I was going to share, I don't know how long this is going to go. We'll see what happens. I'm just going as I feel led. I got a couple verses and stuff together. Some of the people I've talked to, like Tom and Dan, they know I might get an idea of what the Lord wants me to do, but it's really not set in stone. Because I realized through some of the stuff that I did in the very beginning of some of my ministry stuff, when I set it in stone, He changed it anyway. So now I don't do that anymore because He always changes it. So I just allow Him to change whatever He wants along the way. But I was to share with about my son. Some of you guys may or may not know what happened with Isaac. I'll share a brief thing because some of you weren't here then, and some of you may not have even gone to church, or some of you may not have heard about it. So I'll kind of share briefly because through that I learned a lot about God. My son, when he was 3, he's 5 now, and you've seen him run around, he's absolutely perfect. There's nothing wrong with him. Most of you wouldn't know, but for about 5 weeks, 3 weeks of that time, he was on an intubator, not able to move or do anything for himself. He had a tube in, you know, and he was completely knocked out. He couldn't do anything on his own. And me as a father and Heidi as a mother couldn't do a thing to do anything for him or say anything to him or anything at all. And of course, the time through all of that, you know, we speak to God and we ask Him things. And one of the biggest things I thought about was the fact that me, being the father of my son Isaac, if I could choose all the power that I have, which I have none, but if I did, I would take him out of that position and remove him from that because I could. And what I started thinking about through that was the fact that God had the power to remove His son, but out of love, and a choice. And the reason I say it was a choice is because there's nothing that you and I did to warrant His love. There wasn't a feeling that we created in Him first. He, in spite of us, made a decision to love us. And He showed it by the fact that He let His son stay there, even with the power. And that really hit me as a father because there is no way that I am going to allow my son to stay there in that position. And I probably wouldn't do it for anybody in here. Because I'm not God. The things that He does is so much, well, it's just, this is what I'm going to talk about. It's the fact that love, His love, is basically something that I don't think we understand as a word. Because we understand it as a feeling. So, in continuing, the other thing, and when Pastor Rob sang Forever My Love, it kind of reminded me of something I had thought of. I had thought, because I didn't know what Jean Beret was, or GBS, I didn't know exactly what was going to happen towards the end. If he was going to be the same or if he was going to change, how he would look physically, how he would be able to run, that kind of stuff. Because he couldn't do anything for himself. I should back up and explain really what it is. The nerves in your body, there's like a wire, and then there's a sheath around the wire. What happened was the sheath was being eaten by his own... Go ahead. Yeah, you're fine. So the decisions or the things that he would do to breathe and to walk from his brain were not getting where they're supposed to go. So we spent a week basically watching him go from being able to run around the house to just kind of stand. Well, actually, he ended up laying on the ground, and all I could do was feed him some apple juice, and that was about it. That's all I would do. We went back every other day to get the doctor to do something about it. But the reason I say it is because we didn't know what he was going to end up like towards the end. And so the other thing I thought about, and this kind of shows his love too, is, you know, Jesus, he died on the cross, and of course he was rose again. But he will never be the same. He's always going to have the scars. Always. It'll always be there. There is nothing that's going to change that. And he is forever changed because of what he did for us. That's a love decision. That's a love choice. That isn't something simple, and that's certainly not something done from any kind of feeling. There's basically three things I was going to talk about in terms of that love. The first one I kind of alluded to so far already was the fact that love is a choice. The second one will be the fact that God loves first. I've kind of alluded to some of that already, but he loves first. It's not that he is going to wait for you or I to do anything. He's going to love before we do something. And the third thing kind of goes directly with our class that we've been going through on Sunday evening, and that's love languages. I don't think a lot of time we return love to God. We think of him as someone who gives us love. We don't return it back. He desires our love too, but we really don't think about that, I think, sometimes. I know I don't. You know, maybe I'm not as mature as others, and that's very possible. I'm sure it's possible. But sometimes that's the way I am. You know, I want to go for him and I want to get stuff, but I don't want to give him anything. Let's go through a couple of verses. John 3:16, everybody knows it. The reason I put it in here, and I'll just read it real quick even though everybody knows it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He sent his son before we knew we even needed anything. A choice that he made, not based on any kind of feeling or anything that we had done. There are other verses here I was going to share as well. Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before there was anything we did, we didn't do anything right. There wasn't like something that we're like, okay, God, we're going to be okay for right now. We're going to do what we're supposed to do, and now you can send Christ. No, he wasn't waiting for anything like that. Because he loved us enough to do it before we warranted anything. It was a choice that he had made. And the reason I'm going to probably keep saying choice, because this really goes into what we should do as Christians. So you're going to hear it quite a lot. So I have the choice to send his son before we did anything about it. The other thing I was going to read, and I'm going to read this section, it's Romans 8, it's 35 through 39. You've all heard it before, but I'm going to kind of show it in a different way tonight. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor height nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things presented, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. One of the things I thought about when reading this was the fact that this is kind of like me saying to Isaac, I am not going to allow anything to happen to you. That guy is not going to be able to hurt you when you walk down the street or whatever, or when you're in your bed and there's like a monster. I'm not going to let anything happen to you. And the reason I say that is because what he's saying here is nothing's going to separate you from my love. Now, what is the love of God? What is his power based in? It's not based in us, right? His love is based on him giving. So there is nothing that's going to separate him from us because he is not going to allow it to happen because he has the power and he is our Father. And I kind of want to look at it like that because of the fact that that's another choice that he makes. Not only is it a love that he gives, but it's a love that he is not going to let go anywhere. It's not going to change. And he's not going to allow anything to change it for us. And I think of this every now and then, just the phrase, it's his love. He is giving his love. There's nothing we could do to make it stop, except for not accepting him. Once you accept him, there's nothing that can keep that from happening. It's his love to give. Just like with Heidi. She can't make me stop loving her. She can do all kind of stuff. I can't make her stop loving me. I can do all kind of weird stuff. But if we've made the choice to love each one, no matter what we do, then that's just what it's going to be. It's my love to give. No one else's. Because I'm talking about giving now, not receiving. There's a difference. God gives. Okay, so that was kind of the first thing. That was the choice that I was talking about. So now we're going to go into loving first. And I'm going to read Romans 5:8 again, because it talks about loving first. But God shows His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Would that be loving first, you would say? He loved us before we loved Him, right? I mean, I would think that's what that says. And there is more to that than just that, but that's kind of what I'm focusing on tonight. He loved us first. First. The second thing I was going to read is two sets of verses. One's in 1 John 4:16. We'll read that first. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. When the verse John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, it's just something else that came from Isaac. And it's kind of interesting because you would think that Isaac on a deathbed, if they didn't figure out what it was, why would all this love stuff come to me? It's directly from him. But the thing that I got out of that verse that changed kind of the way I think about God is, you know, it says, for God so loved the world. Well, God is love. Could he have done anything else? It'd be like me asking Tom not to look at the carpet when he walks into a room. It's impossible for him because that's what he does. He lays carpet. You know, Dan, maybe when you walk up to your house and you look at a deck or something. You know, I don't know. My dad sees safety stuff. My father-in-law, you know, he's going to look at nursing stuff and possibly safety stuff too. It's who we are. It's who he is. There is no way he's going to do anything but love. That's who he is. It's his character. The other two verses were John 13, and it's 34 through 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. Saying what I've said tonight, when you look at just as I have loved you, it puts a whole new meaning on things, possibly. You know, sometimes we just think of it as loving an individual, you know, we're going to put our arms around and so on. But could it possibly be that we're supposed to love with a choice and love first? You know, that some guy on the street that we don't know or we're kind of scared of, should we make the choice because we're Christians to love that individual no matter what he looks like or what he's doing at the time and to love him first rather than wait for him to do something? I think so. I think it's more than just, we need to go kind of be physical and hug him and bring him into our church. I think it's more than that. The second verse, verse 35, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. This love that God has, if we have the same thing, I think there's no other way that people are going to know who we are as Christians. That is what stands us apart from everything else. Everybody else can have religion and they can have, you know, things they do, ceremonies, all that kind of stuff. They're all over the world. It's the love that sets us apart from everything else. And it's God's kind of love, not our kind of love. Not a feeling or how we think of it. It's like, it's a completely new definition. A choice and a first love. And I'll share a little bit with you what our class is like with love languages with Kurt. There's basically five love languages. There is acts of service. There are gifts. There's words of affirmation, physical touch, and quality time. I don't know why. I think it was during either last week or something, I was thinking about what would God's love language be. And, you know, I guess we really can't ask Him. Yes, of course we can pray. But I thought about, you know, He says, Kurt was saying, when you want to find out what your child's love language is, you look at how they love you. You know, when they love you a certain way, that's their love language because that's how they know to give. So you look at how they love and you love them the same way because that's what they want, because that's what they're giving. Well, I thought about that with God. So what is it that He wants? What is it that He gives so we can find out what it is that He wants? Well, in reading especially the verses we've already read, but reading some more stuff too, because of all the stuff that He did when sending His Son to die, the whole point of that was to get us back in right with Him. To have, I believe, quality time with Him. He wants to be with us. He wants to be with everybody He can be with, if we will just choose Him. He wants quality time. I think my wife said, and I think she's right, He probably is across the board even on all of the love languages, you could say. I think that's probably right. What I chose is like, okay, what would be His most important thing? All the other ones have to stem from one. And I think it's from quality time. Being with God is going to make the other things happen on top of it, I believe. I'm going to read Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There are so many times where God is giving us gifts. It's what He does. We barely earn anything. We don't earn anything. So everything He gives us is a gift from Him. So that's another thing I see as being something that He does as love to us and returning it back to Him. And doesn't He ask us to give gifts, offerings, and sacrifices? So we have gifts. Gifts of His Son. gifts of things in our life where He blesses us and all that kind of stuff. You know, there's all kinds of stuff that He gives that's just gifts. Romans 12:1, we kind of sang about it today, but I'll read the actual scripture. Hopefully it sounds better. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. So there it is. There's acts of service. When Christ died on the cross, it's kind of like all-encompassing together these three. He died so we could be with Him, so we could have time with Him. His death and Him coming here and His resurrection was all a gift, nothing that we merited. And it was definitely an act of service. All of it together. So it really is kind of hard to pull everything apart, because He puts all of it, when He does all of it, it's all together. It's pretty interesting, and there's many times that He does that stuff. I'm going to read some other couple of verses here too. This is John 14, chapter 14, verse 14 and 15. This will be another kind of love language thing. If you will ask anything in My name, I will do it. If you love Me, keep My commandments. So there, I think, is right out in front of us. If you love Me, you will keep My commandments. Pastor Rob has been saying in the last couple of weeks, what are the two main ones? Meaning love God and love your neighbor. So when I look at those, especially in this love thing and looking kind of back at the love language thing, loving God, if you're doing it the way that you should be doing it and not just a fly-by-night thing where you're just kind of over with Him and then you do your own thing or whatever, it's quality time. You're spending time with Him. That's what you're doing when He is first. You spend time with Him above everybody else. The other commandment was neighbor as yourself. So here we're putting love back into it too. Choosing to love somebody, no matter what they're doing at the time, or what they're going to do to you. The other verses I have, John 13, and this is 15 and 16. For if I have given you an example, that you also should do as I have done. So here it is, do as He's done. Most certainly I tell you, a servant is not greater than his Lord, neither one who is sent greater than he who sent him. Now this is spoken just after He washed their feet, if I believe correctly. So He had just been a service to them, making it so that there is no possible way that they could say, well, you know, we're above an individual or not. He came and He served, but He's also going to be served. He served first. Just like His love, first. And He's asking disciples to do exactly the same thing. One of the little phrases I had that I had written down, how can you do something for somebody that you don't even know? How is it possible? There were so many things you could think of. Well, all these reasons that we make for not wanting to help an individual. Well, if I give him some money, he's going to go and he's going to get booze. Or if I put that person, I take a ride in my car, they're going to do something to me in my car. If I allow them to live in my house, they're going to do... There's a whole bunch of stuff, and I do the same thing. But if you look at what God did and the way He loved, it wouldn't even be really a thought. It would be, okay, well, that person needs something. And I've already chosen, because I'm a Christian, I've already chosen to love him or her no matter what. Because I've already chosen it. Just like with Heidi and I when we were married. I already chose to love her forever. There isn't a, well, I've got to re-up it or something where I have to, you know, think about it again. It should be there always. Well, it would be the same with being a Christian. The love, it shouldn't change. As soon as you see that individual, I'm going to love him or her because that's what I told God I was going to do as being a Christian. And obviously, because where that person is, that would be loving them first. Now, if you think about that, what kind of thing is that going to show for that individual and for individuals around? It's going to make a huge change in the way they think of Christians. Because I don't think that the world sees Christians as loving as they should be. In the last couple of weeks in the youth group, you look at those apostles and those disciples and the deacons and all that were involved in that first century church. And they were so off the wall that everybody knew who they were. They gave to people who previously they hated. They helped people who previously they hated. They gave gifts to people that didn't want to have anything to do with them. They were so far away from everything else that the world had done that it was on a question, okay, well, this kind of activity comes from a Christian. Well, that's how it should be too. This kind of love, the kind of love where it's not questioning, it should come from a Christian. When you love like that, it should be obvious. They shouldn't even have to ask. It should just be obvious that they know who you are just by that love and that type of love. I don't know. It looks like everybody here that I know, I think. So we're all believers. So what, Tom? You want to fight? love. Think of it like God would think of it. Don't think of it like the world would think of it. When we do something that isn't necessarily what He wants us to do, does that change anything that He does for us? Does it change His love for us? It doesn't change anything because it's His love. Well, I think that we as Christians, because we're given His love and we're given His Holy Spirit, should also be the same way.